Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Yud Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the 9th wide line. If you prefer, 13 lines from the bottom. On the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei, our topic heading, Ma Shitas HaTana Shel Arba'o Klolos Be'inyin Tashlum Al Keren Tam B'Shus HaNizek. We had a Tanaic source that we featured in our previous shiur, beginning with the words Arba Klolos, hence our reference to it. Within that source, there was a lot of information concerning damage obligation. What is that source's opinion with regard to damage done by a Keren Tam? That's a goring ox that has not as yet gored three times. It's called Tam, meaning docile or domesticated. And the Keren damage is done in the domain of the Nizak, of the victim. Nezek of Keren, where we are very familiar with Chatzi Nezek and Nezek Shalem, Tam, the docile animal pays half damage, Muad, the animal prone to causing damage, after three gorings, it's called Muad, it pays full damage. That is a halacha that exists, let's say, primarily, or the basic halacha applies to a public domain. What we want to know is how are we going to prosecute damages caused in the private domain of the victim? Do we say there too Tam pays merely Chatzi Nezek, or not? The idea of private domain and as a place that full damages are made, that's stated in the Torah quite clearly in the case of Shein and Regel, as we explained in our previous year, being that the Pasuk says, Ubier b'stei acher. The concept or the term stay acher does not appear with regard to Keren. Now the Gemara. Gufa. Arba'o klolos hoya Rabbi Shimon Elozer Omer ben Ezikin. Kol shehu rishus lanizak velo lamazik chayov ba koil. Any domain that is that of the victim and not owned at all by the mazik, the damager, chayav bakol. And here we focus on language. Al hakol lo kotoni, elo chayav bakol. Now, had it said al hakol, that would have implied that for all forms of damage, Shein and Regel and Keren, there's an obligation to pay. But it doesn't say that. It says Bakul. That expression indicates that we're talking about Keren, the damage of goring, the unusual type damage done by an animal. And Chayav Bakul is telling me Bekule Nezek, that full damage must be paid. The conclusion, therefore, would be, even though you're dealing with a shor tam, the domesticated type ox, or docile type ox, since it is taking place in the domain of the Nizak, not in a public thoroughfare, Chayav Bakol, full restitution must be made. Money, the Gemara asks, who is the author of that? Now, we have a marking here, this crown shape on the side under the Mivneh, Havlotas, Rabbi Tarfon V'Rabbonon Shechokim B'Noisei Hanal. We're going to highlight Rabbi Tarfon and then the Rabbonon who argue regarding this issue of how much does Karen Tam pay when in the Rishus of the Nizak. So at this point, we read the beginning of the source, which said Chayav Bakol, would indicate to us that this is Rebbe Tarfon he. The Omar Mishune Keren B'chotzra Nizik. The term Mishune Keren is a description of Keren. Mishune means strange. The destruction or the damage done in the context of Keren is that which is unusual. Hence the term Mishune Keren. In the Chotzer HaNizik, Nezek Sholem Mishalem, he pays full damage. That's Rabbi Tarfon's opinion. That having been said, Amos Seifa. Let's cite from the continuation of that very same source. And we have little stars to the side of the Gemara text which enable you to align this with the similar marking above to see where this comes from. So it says in the Seifa, the continuation of the above source, Lo Lozeh Velo Lozeh, a domain that's Lo Lozeh Velo Lozeh, Kagon Chotzer She'eino Shel Shneem, Chayov Bo Al Hashen V'Al Horegel. My Loi Lozeh Velo Lozeh. What is meant by a domain that's not his nor his? I Lemo Lo Lozeh Velo Lozeh Klal Elo Diacher. It's not the domain of the damager. It's not the domain of the victim. It's someone else's domain. And it says in the source that there is culpability for Shane and Regel. But the pasuk requires, in order for there to be payment for Shane, it has to be b'steacher, it has to be the domain of the victim. But if the fruits that were eaten were not in the property of the owner of those fruits, there would be no Shane obligation. Elo pshita lo lozeh velo lozeh elo dechad. The source said it's a domain that's not his and not his. Maybe in English we're going to be losing something in the translation, but it is to be inferred as follows. It's not his and his, but rather his. It's not jointly held. It's owned by just one, namely just the Nizak, the victim. The Katani Seifa, regarding this, regarding Chotzer HaNizak, it says, Ta Mishalim Chatzi Nezek Umuad Mishalim Nezek Sholem Ason LeRabbonon. That works out like the opinion of the Rabbonon, the Amri Mishune Keren B'Chotzer HaNizek Chatzi Nezek Ude Mishalim. The Keren form of damage, which is Mishune, which is unusual, when in the Chotzer HaNizek, it pays only half damages. So we have a big problem. We have Reisha Rebbe Tarfon V'Seifa Rabbonon. Should we conclude then that we have a source that's, we'll say, split authorship? The first part is in accordance with Rebbe Tarfon, and the second part in accordance with the Rabbonon. Generally speaking, that is not an optimal way of having Tanaic sources. The Gemara says, that's what we're going to have to say over here. The Omar Le Shmuel Rav Yehuda. Shmuel told his student, Rav Yehuda, Shinana, sharp one, it's a complimentary expression. This, by the way, is something that Shmuel said in a different context, but we're going to apply it over here. He said to Rebbe Yehuda, Shinana Shvoik Masnisin V'tah abasroi. Don't try to explain. Shvok means literally abandon the Mishnah, but it means abandon your attempts to explain the Tanaic source in accordance with one opinion, and follow me, and say like I do. Reisha, Rabbi Tarfon v'Seifa Rabbanan. So that's approach number one. Number two, Ravino Mishmei, the Rav Omar Kula Rabbi Tarfon he. The entire source is in accordance with Rabbi Tarfon. What needs to be explained then is the Seifa, Umay Loi Lozeh V'lo Lozeh, what is that going to mean? Lo Lozeh V'lo Lozeh L'Peiros Elo D'Chad. It's a domain where there is not joint permission to bring fruits. Only one has the right to bring fruits. In this case, it's the Nizak. It's a Chotzer HaNizak. Only he has the right. Only he had the right to bring his fruits there. Lozeh for Lozeh Lishvorim. It was a domain, however, that they can bring their oxen. The Legabi Shein, regarding the damage of Shein, Havile Chotzer HaNizik. It's called Chotzer HaNizik, and therefore, for the consumption of the fruits, there would be a payment. And that's what it said in the Seifa. Just to read it again, it's in a frame. We had about 10 lines up. It said, Lo lozeh v'lo lozeh kigon chotzer shein eshel shneim chayev bo al hashein v'al haregel. So since only one had the right to bring fruits there, it's considered chotzer nizik regarding the eating of the fruits. The Gemara continues, Legabi keren, regarding damages done in an unusual fashion, Havyala Rishus Harabim. It has the definition then of Rishus Harabim, which means Chatzi Nezek for Tam and Nezek Sholem for Muad. So in this section of the source, by the way, do you see where this came, where this was cited originally? So we mentioned before, you can use the stars, and you saw that it was at a point in the source that we had a number 4 in the large source at the narrow lines above. It was at number 4. However, if you're going to tell me that number 4 is in effect a, we'll say, a combination of Chotzer HaNizik, rules that apply to Chotzer HaNizik, and rules that apply to Rishus HaRabim, well, those domains were mentioned earlier in the source. In the source we had, number 1 was Rishus HaNizik. Point number 3 in the source described a place, Lozeh V'Lozeh. And in that section of the source, it mentioned that Tam would pay Chatzi Nezek and Muad Nezek Sholem. So, if we're going to accept Ravina's approach, then Shloisha Havu, there are really 3 categories, not 4 categories. If we look in the Rashi, 3 lines from the bottom, Gimel Klolas Havu, Dehoi Klola Basra, the last category, Shaminon Le Mikamoi, could have been derived from what was said earlier. The Kema de Legabi Shein, Havia Chotzer HaNizik, since regarding damage done by eating, it's called Chotzer HaNizik, Loma Le Lemisni, Chayav Al Hashein, Hotono Le Resha. That point was stated in point 1 of the source. I don't need 4 Aleph in the source. And what did it say in number 1 of the source? Kol Shu Shus La Nizik Velola Mazik Chayav Bakol. V'keren B'Chotzer HaShutvin. And the damage of Karen done in a jointly held property, and as you described, section 4 as Rishus Lozeh V'Lozeh Lishvarim, so it's like a Chotzer HaShutvin, it said in the Resha, number 3 in the original source, Kedon Chotzer HaShutvin V'Abiko HaNegicho V'HaNegifo Tam HaShalim Chatzin Ezek. So if you are going to accept Ravina's approach, section 4 of the above Tanaic source, the Arba Klolos source, would seem to be redundant. Not only that, but then why does the source begin with the expression Arba Klolos? There are four categories. Really, there are three. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Shloisha Klolos Ba'arba Mekaymas. Rashi explains this. Rashi at the top. Shloisha Klolos Ba'arba Mekaymas. De'en Kanela Shloisha Dinim. We have three laws. One, Birshus HaNizik, Chayav Bakol. In a Birshus HaNizik, so there is payment must be made for everything. Birshus HaMazik Poter Mikol. In a domain owned by the attacker, total exemption. Bechotzer HaShutfin, Chayav B'chatzi Nezik B'keren, U'Poter Al HaShein V'Regel. Avol, Arba Mekaymas Hain, there are four areas. She'ein Dinon Shave. Diyesh, there are four categories, four areas, which have four different halachas. Diyesh Chotzer HaShutfin, because there is an additional type of Chotzer HaShutfin. Shulchayov Bo Al HaShein. Notice the contrast between this dashed underline we call Beis and that which we dashed underlined the line before, Aleph. Before we describe the Chotzer HaShutfin as being Poter Al HaShein. This fourth area is a Chotzer HaShutfin Shulchai Bal HaShein Kigon Dimiucheres Lechad Leperos Lishneim Lishvorim. Because in this particular Chotzer HaShutfin they both can bring their oxen. However, only the Nizak was allowed to bring his fruits. Therefore, there is a chiyuv for Shein. So with the way we marked the Rashi, you'll notice that we had numbers 1, 2, 3. And then under 3, which was Chotzer HaShutfin, we had Aleph and Beis. Hence, Aleph and Beis account for two kinds of Chotzer HaShutfin, and you have a Chotzer HaNizik and a Rishus HaMazik, four Mekomos. The Mishnah. We have, once again, we've had a series of Mishnayas that at first glance, first read-through, are quite difficult or vague in their understanding. Shum kesef, shove kesef. Bifnei beisdin, v'alpi edim, b'nei churin, b'nei bris, v'hanoshim, b'chlal hanezek, v'hanizak, v'hamazek, b'tashlumen. There's very little to add by way of translation when Rashi says, kula masnisin meforesh b'gemara. The entire Mishnah will be explained by the Gemara. So let's go through the Gemara, paying attention to the fact that we need to explain every phrase of this Mishnah. My shum kesef. Shum is associated with the word shuma, an appraisal, evaluation. What does shum kesef mean? Omar of Yuda. Shum ze, the appraisal of damages. Lo yehe ela bekesef, shall be in cash terms. And according to the cash evaluation of the damages, thus the payment shall be made. Tanina laha de tanu rabbanan. That means we learn in our Mishnah that which is taught in the following brisa. This is a style you find throughout the Shas, and it's designed to show that this particular brisa is a reliable and authoritative brisa, in so far as it is backed up by that which is taught in the Mishnah. Not all brisas can be categorized as being authoritative and reliable, as many of you are aware, having gone through Gemaras, of course, that's our hope, and if not, you will become aware that you find elsewhere in the Shas that it says, Kol Masnisa de Lotona Bei Rabbi Chia Berevoshia. Is any brisa that was not taught in the yeshiva of Rav Chiya Rav Hoshaya, were major authors of Tanaic literature, you can't rely on it. But a brisa concerning which the Gemara says is backed up by our by the Mishnah, that's an ikur, Rashi says, that's a reliable, authentic Tanaic source. So what does it say in this brisa? Pora shezika talis. Vitalis shezika pora. A cow that damages a garment. A garment upon which a cow slipped and got hurt, got damaged. Ein oimrim teitse pora vitalis vitalis bepora. We don't say, well, just take the cow as payment for the damage to the talus, or take the talus as payment for the damage to the para. We don't say that. Ela shomen oisa bedomen. Rather, we evaluate how much damage was there in cash terms, and that is what is paid. Shove kesef. The topic heading that we have on the side. Ein Bezdin Goyvin Linezikin Elamikaka. When Bezdin collects, when they intervene in seizing collection, they do so from land. Now that's a very general and superficial statement, but it's we're using it just as a lead-in to the Gemara. Shove Kesef, Detonu Rabbanan. So what did our Mishnah say? That evaluations must be made in terms of cash and shove kesef, cash value, cash equivalent. The Raisa says, the Torah Rabbonon, shove kesef, the term in the Mishnah, shove kesef melame, teaches us, she'ein beizdin nizkokin elo nechosim she'eish lohem achrayas. That means that based in the court will collect from the offender only if he has property. In other words, only property is used as a means of compensation. Avolim kidam nizak v'tofas metatlin, if the victim on his own grabbed as payment portables, based in Goyvin Lo Mehen. So the court accepts that, enables him to collect from those metalpin that he seized. This source will now be processed, will be analyzed. Omamar. It was said, Shove Kesem Lamed She'ein Bezdin Nizkokin El Chosim She'esh Lehem Achrayas. My Mashma. How do you see from the term Shove Kesef a reference to land? The term nechosim shesh machrayas is an expression that we've discussed in the past. It's a reference to land. Literally, it's property upon which there is a guarantee or there is responsibility for payment. But for our purposes, it means land. How does the term shove kesef in the Mishnah refer to land? We have triangles, and on the side of the Gemara, they are explained under the Mivnesh, Shlavim. These are stages, Lefaresh, to explain the Hodikotoni, Shove Kesef, Hainu Karka. Where do you see, in the words, Shove Kesef, a reference to land? So we continue. Omar Rabo Bar Ula, Dovar Hashove Kol Kesef. Something that is worth, or something concerning which you can pay any amount. My Neil, what does that mean? Something that you pay for and it's acceptable, it's legitimate whatever amount, even if you pay many times its actual value, there's no problem in that. One should be aware that the Torah restricts overcharging. That prohibition is called oino, not to charge a sixth over the going market rate. That prohibition of overcharging, of oino, does not apply to certain types of transactions. So our Mishnah that says Shava Kesef, and we're saying how does that refer to land? Well, because the word Shava Kesef means something concerning which you can pay any amount and it's considered legitimate. So we ask, Mainu, what is that? Dover Shein Lo Ono, something concerning which there's no violation or prohibition of Ono, of overcharging. And what is that? We know that that applies to real estate, to land. The Iser of Ono does not apply to land. Why that is, there are psukim and the Gemara give sources for that elsewhere, but for our purposes, we're stating it as a fact. The Gemara asks, well, avodah mushtaras nami ein lohem oino. Slaves and documents, shtoros, most often would refer to something, let us say, a person has a debt to collect. He lent someone money, and the debt was written up in a shtar. I can transfer that debt collection to someone else. I transfer the document to someone else. And in a case like that, if there was an overcharge, there's no claim of ono. Not only is real estate immune or above the prohibition of ono, slaves and documents are as well. So the source above that said Shava Kesef means that Basin collects only from land. If Shava Kesef means something that has no ono, then you would say this, you would say that applies to Avodim and Shtaros as well. And yet the source didn't say that. Elo Omar Rabo Bar Ulo. What does Shava Kesef mean? Dover Hanikne Bekesef. Something who's transferred, whose ownership is transacted through paying money. We know from many other sugyas, primarily sugyas in Maseches Kiddushin, that different items that are transacted have different methods of transaction. There's meshicha, the drawing of an item unto yourself. There's mesira, the handing over of the reins. There's a chazoka, different means of acquisition. There are things that are acquired through cash payment. What is acquired through cash payment? Land. Obviously, land is not something that you can pick up or hand over. How do you acquire land? By paying money, cash. Well, avodah mushtaras nami niknin v'kesef. Slaves and documents are also transacted through cash payment. How then can you say that Shava Kesef is a reference to Nechosim Sheshem Achrayas, which means land, while explaining Shava Kesef means things transacted through Kesef, when we see that it's not restricted to land? Elom Ravashi, Shava Kesef velo Kesef. Fahani Kulu Kesef Ninu. Shava Kesef means something that's worth money, but it's not considered cash in and of itself. Now, we have a certain it's a preconceived notion of what cash is. Coins, printed bills. But if you're a little more flexible, a little more expansive in your imagination, as a cash is that which can be transacted anywhere. In other words, it's easy to sell. If you can't find any buyers here, you'll find buyers somewhere else. They're portables. The only thing that doesn't have that characteristic is real estate. Land. Land can't be moved from one place to another. So the term Shava Kesef is basically exclusive of everything other than land. Land is equal to cash in terms it has cash value, but it's not viewed as cash itself. Avodim and Shtaros, though, those are like cash literally, as we explained. You can sell them with ease, if not here, somewhere else. You can't say the same thing about land. So therefore, the term Shavei Kesef is a reference to land, something that has that can be evaluated in terms of cash, but not it's not cash itself. Rami Le Rav Yehuda Bar Chinan Ola Rav Huna Bre Rav Yehoshua. Rav Yehuda raises a contradiction, a difficulty between two sources. And on the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei, we've written Liashev Shnei Mekoros to resolve two sources. Aleph Tashlum Nezikin Dafka Mikarka. One source indicates that the payment, the compensation for damages, only through land. Beis, the second source, Yoshiv, a word that you find in the Torah. The Rabbi Safilu Metapul and Tashlum Nezikin. That includes even portables as payment for damages. Two sources, and they need to be resolved. The Gemara. So we said that Rav Yehuda Bar Chinana raised this problem to Rav Huna. Tana, on one hand, the source says Shove Kesef Melamed Shein Beisin is Kokin Elu Nechosim Sheish Lamachrayas. Beisin doesn't collect for damages other than from land. V'hot Tanya, but we have another source that says Yoshiv. That's a quote from the Pasuk, entire Pasuk we've quoted on the side. Shmos Perich of Aleph Pasuk. Pasuk says, Balavoy Shalem Kesef Yoshiv Lebalov Amesi Elo. So you see the word Yoshiv Lebalov. We should mention it's Pasuk Lamed Daled there in Shmos Perich of Aleph. And the source says, Yoshiv l'rabbi shovek esef afilu subin, that payment for damages is made from things that have cash value, even if it happens to be bran. For our purposes, it means that restitution for damage can be made from portables as well. The Gemara resolves, Hocha b'mayaskinon b'yasmi. Source Aleph that says, collection for damages can be made only from land is because you're dealing with a collection made from the heirs of the offender, from his orphans. And if a man who incurred the obligation to pay for damages, he died before paying it, if he left land to his heirs, the victim can collect from the land. But if he didn't leave any land, left just portables, they cannot be collected from because of the rule, Metaltadas Milo Mishtabdi Lebalchov. Rashi adds a svora for that, and that is because people, one must suspect, or one can consider that those portables might have been purchased after the father died. It's their own portables, and there's no lien upon them. Not so in the case of land that was known to be owned by the father. The Gemara says, "E biyasmi." If source Aleph is talking about Yisayim Emos Seifa, continue the reading of the source, and it said there, "Im kiram nizak v'tofas metatalin, based in goven loy mehen." If the nizak lunged forward and grabbed portables, Basin acknowledges that as a means of payment. Well, E Biasmi, am I Basin Govin Lomehen? If you're talking about orphans, why would Basin approve of such a collection? Kid Omar Rava, as Rava explained, Omar Rav Nachman, as Kid Omar Rava Rav Nachman, She Tofas Mechayim, the Nizak, the victim, grabbed those portables while the damager was still alive. So that's what Rava says elsewhere. Hochanami will apply that over here, Shetofas Mechayim, a case where the Nizak, in fact, grabbed the portables from the damager while he was still alive. Bifnei Beisdin. the Rashi says, "Bifnei Beisin Hochi Mashma Masnisin Shove Kesef Bifnei Beisin Shiu Karka Oisov Bifnei Beisin." It sounds like that the karka, that the land of the damager, must be in the presence of Beisin. Well, what does that mean for us? So on the sign of the Gemara, we have a Mivnei structural note where a diamond is featured. These diamonds represent shlavim, stages, lahavonas hadiktoni b'mishnah b'fnei beisin. Stages in trying to understand what does the Mishnah mean when it says b'fnei beisin. So the Gemara says at stage one, prat l'moicher nechosov v'achakach holech l'beisin. Imagine a case where someone caused damage. He sold off his land and he had no cash left, and then he appears in court. Basin is not going to be able to collect from the purchasers. So that's what the Mishnah allegedly is telling us. The Gemara says that cannot be. Shma mino, should we conclude lova umochar nechosav achakach bo lebeisdin ain't beisdin goven lo mehen? A person who, let us say, borrowed money, incurred a debt, he borrowed money, sold off any land he might have owned, and then the creditor comes to collect his debt, the beisdin is rendered powerless in collecting on his behalf. Well, that can't be. We know, it's well known that when a person incurs a debt, his land automatically becomes indebted to pay it off. In other words, a lien is formed on that land. So what, he may have subsequently sold it off. Selling land with a lien upon it enables Basin to collect from the purchasers as well. So what does this phrase of Bifnei Basin come to teach us? Ella, Prat Lebezin Hedyotos. To the exclusion of a court comprised of commoners. What does that mean for our purposes? It means that for collecting what's called Knossos, payments that one is obligated to make but do not correspond to the actual damage per se, those are called knas. Payments like that, and there are many examples of that, the realm of kefel, of paying double, of paying arba v'chamesh, four or five times, the payment of shloishim shel eved, if a person's ox killed someone's slave, so 30 pieces of silver are paid, regardless of the value of the eved. That is not going to be prosecuted, or that cannot be judged by a case, by a court comprised of hedyotos. So that our Mishnah, we certainly warned everyone ahead of time that the Mishnah was vague. The term Bifnei Beisdin comes to tell us, teach us that knossos are not judged, are not prosecuted by a Beisdin of commoners. You need to have judges that had received smicha, had received, we'll say, ordainment, as is described elsewhere in the Shas. Alpi Adim, the Mishnah mentioned Alpi Adim. What does that mean? So that a person is obligated to pay if witnesses come and say that you have incurred a debt. You damaged someone, you borrowed money, you have to pay it up, and witnesses testify to that effect. Prat lemoide beknas v'achakach bo edim shu poter. This comes to the exclusion of a situation where a person had committed a type of damage that we categorize as knas. We just mentioned that before. And he confessed to that effect. that I stole and slaughtered someone's animal, or my animal killed someone's slave, etc. He's moide b'knas. He admits to it. And then witnesses show up to testify to that effect. Shu poter, he is exempt. Well, honicho l'man domar moide b'knas v'acho bo'idim poter. You can say that our Mishnah said al pi edim to the exclusion of this case if you hold like that. El l'man domar moide b'knas v'acho bo'idim chayav ma'iko l'meimar. There is a machlokas in our Masechta, Perek Meruba, the seventh Perek, concerning this very matter. One who confesses a knas-type obligation and then witnesses show up that testify about that, about his obligation, is he exempt? Well, if you say he's not exempt, so what is the point of our mission when it says, I'll piate him? Answer, Seifa itzterich lei. It's what appears in the continuation of the Mishnah that we deem necessary. B'nei Chorin uv'nei Bris. That means the witnesses in our Mishnah must be B'nei Chorin and B'nei Bris. These terms have meaning as we go on in the Gemara. B'nei Chorin, l'mutei avodim. B'nei Chorin literally means free individuals, to the exclusion of slaves. A Jew is called a Ben Chorin, and a slave is not a Ben Chorin. He is a slave. He's enslaved. So that the witnesses that can serve as testimony for payments must be Bnei Chorin, not slaves. Bnei Bris, Limute, Oivdei Kechavim. That term comes to exclude idol worshippers. They cannot serve as witnesses. Utsricha. And I need a specific exclusion of each one. By telling me one, I wouldn't have been able to figure out the unacceptability of the other. Why is that? Di Yashmin and Eved. Had we taught that an Eved, that a slave is unfit, is unqualified to serve as a witness, Mishum de'ein lo yachas. He does not have any genealogy. Yachas is a term, like the word yichus, a connection to his past, a pedigree. A slave doesn't have that. And there's a droshes chazal, shvulachem po ima chamor, and we say, am hadoyme lechamor. Just like animals have no yachas, they have no genealogy. Of course, an animal is born from biological predecessors, but there's no legal recognition or legal connection between the father of an animal and the animal, and certainly not the grandfather of the animal and an animal. But Avol Nochri, a Gentile, Diyesh Lo Yachas, Emo Lo, a Gentile, and there's a source for that in Rashi, quotes from the Gemara elsewhere, where you see idol worshiper kings featured in the scriptures with reference to their fathers, to their predecessors, their fathers, their grandfathers. So the concept of yachas, of yichus, applies to a nochri. And therefore, maybe he would be qualified to serve as a witness, to offer testimony that would result in the need to make restitution. Therefore, by teaching me just B'nei Chorin, I wouldn't have known the exclusion of Ovdei Kechavim. Therefore, I have to teach Ovdei Kechavim as being excluded. V'yashmin and Nochri, and had we taught that Gentile is excluded from serving as witness, Mishum Dolo Shayach B'mitzvus, he has no connection, no obligation to fulfill the mitzvahs of the Torah. It truly has Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, but not the Mitzvahs of the Torah. Avol Eved D'Shayah B'Mitzvahs Eim Alo, but a slave who is bound to the same Mitzvahs that a female is bound to. Many, many, many Mitzvahs. All the losas, all the negative commands of the Torah, and all positive commands that are not time bound, an Eved is bound to just like a woman. Eim Alo, I wouldn't have thought to exclude him from testimony. Tzricha, therefore, the Mishnah informs us that the Eved is also excluded from serving as a witness. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.